Hi everyone. Before we get started on the story, I wanted to remind you that my memoir, Both Sides of the Fire Line, is available at any of your favorite bookstores, whether it's in your neighborhood or it's Amazon. You can purchase it wherever you like. The book, Both Sides of the Fire Line, is published by Chicago Review Press, and I hope you enjoy the book. So let's get on with the story for today. Good morning, everyone. This is Bobby from Bobby on Fire, and I'm here with my regular standby good buddy, John. John?
Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning. I love it when you use your radio voice. So, this is the 7th of July, and where I'm living here in Washington State, the fireworks are still going on. They started a few days before the 4th of July, and they've been going all day and into the late evening every night. And I thought about all these instances in my career where 4th of July lent lots of stories to my storytelling, the storytelling aspect of my life. Lots of crazy things happened on the 4th of July, most of them related to I don't want to say dumb people. I don't want to say idiots. I would say people who have a lapse in judgment on the 4th of July using fireworks. Lapse of judgment. I think that's a polite way to put it. John, I can't hear you. You're muted.
Maybe knuckleheads?
Knuckleheads? That would be an appropriate use of the word knucklehead, yes. So I'm going to tell you some of the stories that have happened on the 4th of July. Now, let me start with a story that was from my family, where one of my cousins, his kids were visiting me. His kids were adults at that time, but they were telling me a story about the 4th of July, and when the youngest is shooting bottle rockets out on the street. And one of the bottle rockets landed on their shake shingle roof of this very, very nice three-story home, high-end kind of a place. Now, the kids were sensible enough when they saw the bottle rocket land on the shake shingle roof, and they started to see smoke coming from the shake shingles. The youngest ran around the house through the yard to tell his parents that there's smoke coming from the roof. So the parents are talking to the neighbors, and they're having drinks, you know, and it's a nice evening, and they're sitting out there enjoying themselves. And the little boy, about maybe 12 years old, trying to interrupt, "Mom, Dad, don't interrupt your parents while we're talking." "But Mom, Dad, I said don't interrupt." So the little boy is standing there, and he's trying to insert himself into the conversation, and the parents are talking, and they're trying to teach him manners. You don't interrupt the adults while they're talking. "But Mom, Dad." And pretty soon, the parents hear sirens coming down the street. And my cousin says to his wife, "Wow, sounds like they're coming down our street, you know." And pretty soon, they stop right in front of the house. And their son says, "Dad, the roof's on fire, Dad, the roof's on fire." And it was bottle rockets, you know, started the fire. That was a big deal in their family. I don't know if my cousin ever was able to talk about it with the kids and smile and laugh at that. But at least when I was hearing the stories, there was still a lot of tension about that. And that was kids. So now I was working for the fire department. I was a pretty new firefighter at the time. But that kind of stuff happens all the time around the holidays, or around 4th of July holiday. Now, depending on where you live, some jurisdictions allow fireworks, some don't. Some allow things that make light and smoke and sparkles and all of sparks, but they don't allow ones that shoot up in the air, or certain height in the air. So it all depends on your jurisdiction where you live, what is allowed and what isn't. But let me tell you what I've experienced at work, because even if they're not allowed where you live, across the street in the next jurisdiction, or if it's an Indian reservation or wherever the stands get set up, people buy whatever they can buy and then they bring them back to their homes. Now, I've worked places where the police would cruise up and down the streets and really get hardcore about it. But I've lived places where they didn't. Some of the places where they are hardcore about it, trying to keep the big explosive fireworks out of the public hands, they were that way. They were hardcore because the summer, the year before, the years before, there had been bad things happening. Now, I've worked places where the fire chief associations in the county would get together and try to approach the municipality, the county commissioners, the county supervisors, with begging, please don't allow fireworks in the summertime. If you want to have fireworks, one of the things I was involved in was like, let's have fireworks at New Year's. Let's push for fireworks at New Year's, because in New Year's it's usually wet. There might, depending on where you live, there might be snow on the ground. The risk of fire started from fireworks is way reduced January 1 as opposed to July 4th. Sometimes that's been successful in terms of getting that resolution passed, but oftentimes the decision makers just, I think they revert back to when they were 10 years old, shooting bottle rockets up to their parents' house and starting their roof on fire, and they just find it such a fond memory they can't possibly say no to the next generation of knuckleheads. So for whatever reason, there's so many places I've worked where they just allow the fireworks. So let me tell a story. One summer evening, there I was, and there's always fireworks around the holiday. So on national, I was working for the National Forest at this point in my career, and fireworks are illegal to possess on the national forests, on other federal lands. You cannot even possess them. And so I would be working with my folks. At this time I was a chief, and my fire engines and my prevention people, they would be out patrolling. We're trying to keep people from blowing off the fireworks, and we want to be out there where the fires might start. So we'd be patrolling, and I would go into a campsite with a bunch of 20 somethings, and they would and so because in the Forest Service you can have a law enforcement authority at a lower level. You're not a cop, you can't arrest someone, but I could give tickets to people. And so I would go into a campground or a campsite, and there would be those red cups, they've been drinking beer. The red cups are the giveaway. And you'd walk around, you're talking to them, and you're kind of walking around the campsite, and you look, the trunk is open to the car, and they probably have anywhere between $200 and $1,000 worth of fireworks in the trunk of their car. And you say, "Hey, whose fireworks are these?" "Oh, they're ours. Yeah, we're gonna have a blast." Yeah, you're really not going to, because I have to confiscate those fireworks. "What? You can't confiscate the fireworks." "Yeah, I can. They're illegal to possess, and you're in possession of them. So tell me who's in possession of them, because I'm gonna give them a ticket." "Oh, is no one in possession of them?" "Yeah, no, they're not ours." "Okay, well then I'm not going to give anyone a ticket, but I'm taking your fireworks." You know, I don't care about giving the ticket. I want to get those fireworks out of that campground before we have a fire. And now I've got the brush on fire, the trees on fire, and I've got hundreds of campers trying to unpack their gear or pack up their gear and get out of there before the campground gets burned up. It's a mess. Because I've been on many, many incidents where people start fires with firecrackers. I mean, I'm not taking those fireworks away from them just because I'm a jerk and I want to ruin their weekend. I want to save them the cost of having to pay for a forest fire because it's law. We have to charge them. If they start a fire and we can prove they started it, we're sending them a bill. And forest fires are not cheap to put out. We're talking about millions of dollars. So I confiscate those fireworks. Then the evening goes on, and I've got a box in the back of my truck filled to overflowing with firecrackers, bottle rockets, Roman candles, whatever, you know, the Joe Dirt. Remember the Joe Dirt movie where he's going off and naming off all these different kinds of fireworks, you know, the whistle dizzles and the razzle dazzles and all that. They've got them all, and I've got them in the back of my truck now, and I'm going to give them to the cops, and they'll put them in water, soak them, and destroy them. Now, as the evening goes on, or the next evening, maybe that was the 2nd of July or the 3rd of July, one evening in particular, around the 4th, we get a call to assist the local fire department right on the edge of the National Forest. It's all this remote subdivisions. Fire department's responding to fireworks started a brush fire. And so we respond with the local fire department. And now these are adult knuckleheads. These aren't young people. These aren't 15-year-olds. These are adult knuckleheads with their adult beverage sitting on their deck, shooting bottle rockets off. Now they think that they're going to shoot them off over the river. They're sitting up above a river, but bottle rockets, it's not like they're like laser guided, you know. It's not like they have computer guidance systems in them. You know, when you see a bottle rocket go up, it goes all over the place, and who knows where it's going to land. And one of their bottle rockets landed on the hillside behind their house, which you say, okay, well, it's a behind their house, so maybe it's not going to be a problem. And it's uphill from them, so hey, good, it's not going to burn their house, maybe. Unfortunately, there's a house right above them where it's full of brush below, and now that brush is on fire and it's burning up the hill to the house. So it takes, I don't know, I don't remember how many of my engines were there. It takes one or two of my engines, me in the command capacity, the local fire department folks, and it's a big deal. It's turned into, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 acres. We saved most of the house. There was some damage to the house, but it was a big deal. And in the end, there were probably four agencies, 10 engines, a bulldozer, you know, all that sort of thing. Because adult knuckleheads, maybe under the influence of adult beverage, were acting like children and started the hillside on fire. That happens multiple times a night. Oh, that happens hundreds of times a night around the 4th of July, around the country. Now, if you live in the West, where it's dry in the summer and there's vegetation that's flammable, what I described is commonplace, and it drives me crazy because we're spending money, we're taking resources away from something that's totally preventable, and it's like babysitting. We're cleaning up after knuckleheads. And it's not even knuckleheads, because knuckleheads, I use that term as a term of endearment. I use that with affection. Well, these people are idiots. I'm sorry. You know, one night at a different location, a different place I was working, similar environment, lots of brush, pine trees, over the brush, and a popular town of a population of maybe 50,000 or so. There were just tons of fires. I think in one night we had 180 incidents between all of the fire agencies. So there was a command post set up, and I went to the command post and sat there and listened to the radio. I didn't respond because I had lots of my folks, plus there were all of the other fire agencies responding. So I'm sitting in the command post listening to all the traffic. There's a fire here, there's a fire there. The town sounds like a war zone. It sounds like you're in, I don't know, I've never been in a war zone, but it sounds like you'd be in, Afghanistan or Fallujah or something, boom, 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 boom. And, from this area, and then, the big Roman candles going up in the air and exploding, and there were fires starting all over the place. It's the West. It's a lot of grass. It's a lot of brush. It's dry. It's July. And fires are burning all over the place. And the fire engines, the firefighters on the engines, are responding all over the place, from one place to the next to the next. So I hear an address that's near my house. And I thought, oh, that's pretty close to my house. But I don't know exactly the number. And it's like, well, okay, whatever. So that night, and when it's all over, about 1 in the morning, things are calmed down. I'm driving back to my house and I smell smoke. But there's a particular smell to the vegetation after it's burned and there's been water put on it. Some of you are probably familiar with that smell. So I knew it wasn't an active fire, but I could smell that scent of wet, burned vegetation and wet soil. So I knew the engines had been there, and I didn't see anything. And so I go home, and the next morning I'm driving to the station in my office, and just down the street from my house, there was a home that had these giant fir trees. Now imagine when you see the Christmas trees that they take to the White House, that there's those giant trees that are probably 70 feet tall, and they're full and they're thick. Now this house had two of those right next to each other with all this beautiful landscaping underneath. At Christmas time, they set up a nativity scene underneath those trees. They were just very spectacular specimen trees for that area. Big, beautiful, lush fir trees. Well, when I drove back to my office the next morning, those two trees were sticks. It had burned all around. So someone had blasted some fireworks, got into those trees or into the landscaping down below, and those trees torched off. Now, that would have been one hell of a fire because those trees were probably 70 feet tall, and all that was left was the tree trunk and some spindly branches that were charred. And I just thought that was such a waste. Now, people, all of those 180 calls, some of those were medical calls where people were injured, they had burned themselves in their hands, fingers were blown off or damaged, houses were impacted. That's happens. It's like people lose their mind on 4th of July with the fireworks. Where I live now, the other day there's so much fireworks around here, and thankfully it's been wet, so there haven't been that many fires. But driving down the street, there's like a 4-year-old lighting the fireworks off in the on the street. You got to drive around all of the fireworks going off, and the parents are on the porch watching their 4-year-old with a Bic lighting off the fireworks in the street. So, you just drive by. I hope you don't hear anything come through on the radio that says there's a an injury there. So, I kind of wanted to describe what it looks like for the firefighters when they are when they're working on a 4th of July or those days leading up to and after the 4th of July. I would ask everybody to be really cautious about it. I know this is, you know, the few days after the 4th of July holiday, but there's a 4th of July every year, and it would be good if we practice some common sense and some maturity. And remember, you cannot take any fireworks onto federal land. National Forest, Bureau of Land Management, National Parks. The state rules may vary, but if you're going into the campgrounds for the National Forest and Bureau of Land Management and Parks and that sort of thing, it's illegal. You'll get a ticket. You won't find someone as nice as me who just takes them away from you. They'll take them away, your $1,000 worth of fireworks, and they'll give you a ticket on top of it. So so keep that in mind. John, if you have something to add, your mic is off again, John. There you go.
So you had a lot of injuries? It's the fires as well as, I don't know, what, people getting burns?
Yeah, because as the evening goes on and they're on to their second six-pack, you know, they're not quite as careful about holding and being safe with the fireworks. I mean, fireworks can be safe if they're done in a cleared area and a green field. You know, you're using something to light them that's keeping your hands away from them. But, oh my gosh, lots of injuries from the fireworks. Not only can homes be burned down by simple things like the bottle rockets or things that are going blowing up in the air, if you're not careful, number one, if you're young, if you're that four-year-old, or you've been drinking and you are acting like a four-year-old, then, yeah, bad stuff happens. Anything else?
No, I'm just thinking about the, like in Arizona, when I was a kid, all fireworks were illegal. They didn't sell them. And then somewhere along the line, now you do see them for maybe 20 years or so.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's become some kind of a, I saw something online. People said, God, oh, it was in L.A. And they had this video of this, like the skyline of L.A. And it looked like a war zone, the fireworks going off and the Roman candles and everybody's got their stuff off. And it said, God bless the Patriots. And I thought, what does this have? Really? It's patriotic? You know, okay, whatever. But yeah, so some places they're legal, some places are not, and then some places it depends on what kind. You might be able to have some, but not others. I just ask folks to be sensible. Don't be knucklehead. Don't be an idiot. It's just something to be really cautious about. So with that, folks, I'm going to sign off. I appreciate everybody's continued listeningship. I'll post a number of downloads. I think I'm over 90,000 downloads now for stories. So I'll ask you again, if you get a chance, if you wouldn't mention when you record or when you listen to a story, let me know, leave a comment and let me know where you found this website from. Because I'm always trying to figure out how I can focus the stories to be most entertaining and helpful for people. So if you would let me know, that would be great. Well, I'm going to sign off and talk to you all next week. Thanks, everyone. We'll talk to you later.